This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Alexander Walker, inside feed. Williamson with a left-handed dunk on a spin move.
A little reverse. Wasn't a 360, but it was a 180 back the other way.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my.
Looked like you were having some fun with the dunking because of the Pelicans rookie was out there.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see what it was like in firsthand. So, you know, I'm a competitive guy. He's the truth.
Middays on the Score.
You think? Yeah, looks like that might translate to the next level after all.
It may.
Yeah.
It just may.
The Zion Williamson highlight from the Score last night and Zach LaVine. But, you know, Bulls might have given up that lead and lost the game, but who cares? There's other things going on, and I think we might see some green shoots is the way I look at it. Green shoots of some positive growth under Jim Boylan. I said it.
It's weird to say.
Let's talk Chicago Bulls with Mark Schanowski of NBC Sports Chicago. He is on Twitter at Mark Schanowski, and he joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Oh, hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you again. New season, and as you mentioned, there's some optimism. It's great. Fun to watch that offense last night.
I wonder how we got here, because the very same Jim Boylan that arrived trying to play basketball in 1990 and slow it down and throw it to Robin Lopez and take contested twos and walk it up, out of nowhere, not only is embracing modern basketball, he's talking about it. He's saying the right things. Is this Doug Collins and Pax and Jim Paxson, or is this Chris Fleming? How did we get from there to here?
Well, I think it's definitely a collaborative effort with the front office and the coaching staff, because as you mentioned last year, it was a process that was painful at times, but you know, the roster also is a lot more conducive to playing faster and shooting more three-point shots, which is what the modern NBA is all about. And it's nice to see them getting in with the flow, you know, adding guys like Thomas Satoransky, Luke Kornet, getting Denzel Valentine back. You can space the floor now with three-point shooters, and playing with pace is something that a lot of coaches talk about but don't want to do, because there's going to be turnovers, there's going to be mistakes. And I think finally, you know, the Bulls have accepted that this is the way you have to play to be successful in the NBA, and they've got a better roster to execute it.
Mark, NBA Twitter, the nerdery, and the guys who, you know the game and have been in it, really like Thomas Satoransky and really enjoy him as like the dark horse, kind of darling character on this team. I think people loved the deal. I think people loved the value that's attached to the contract. Like, he seems to check off all the boxes of NBA love.
Well, when the Bulls made that signing, I talked with a couple of guys I know with our affiliate out in Washington, D.C., and they told me, you're going to love this guy, that he's got, we're going to see a personality as the season goes on. He's got some very strong opinions about how the game should be played. And the unselfishness has come through right away in his first two preseason games. You can see that he knows as a point guard, his primary goal is to get everybody else involved. He wants to learn where other guys like to catch the passes, you know, what plays they like to run best. And at 6'7", he brings you a dimension that a lot of point guards don't have. He can see over the top of defenses. He can create passing lanes where a lot of other guys might struggle. And he's a good three-point shooter, which also adds to their ability to be more effective from beyond the arc. So it's a very underrated signing. It got a lot of love around the NBA, and I think that when we see it in practice, we're going to appreciate the guy even more.
They really need a wing. I know you mentioned Valentine. I think he's awful. I really don't see in this NBA how Valentine can play in the league, frankly. And Hutchison, we don't know, because he isn't healthy enough for us to get a good read on him. Even if they could trade Dunn for somebody, you know, for some rosterable wing, it's really hard against. It's like every night they're going to be going up against a team that's got somebody who's 6'9", 6'10", and putting the ball on the floor and slashing it at high speeds. How are they going to find that guy?
Well, that's going to be difficult. I mean, once you get into the season, you're not going to see many rotation caliber wings that are going to be available. And Chris Dunn's trade value at this point is still really low. I don't really know that there's a trade out there where they could go one for one and bring in a guy that you could just plug into the rotation and say, well, he's going to be the answer to who can back up Otto Porter Jr., and we're not going to worry about that anymore. The hope still is within the organization that Chandler Hutchison will get healthy and will show some growth over what we saw from his rookie season. But, you know, there's already signs when a guy gets hurt that often that, maybe he's a little bit injury prone and you can't really rely on him. And he does not shoot the three ball the way that they would like from that position. So that is an area that they would like to address. It probably could be something that, they could look at a trade down the line. And the nice thing is they do have depth in other positions they can work from. It's just we don't know what kind of quality wing you can add at this point, because most teams head into the season after making their offseason moves and they kind of fall in love with their roster. The guys that are cut loose generally aren't guys you can plug into your rotation right away.
Mark, what is a second unit look like for Jim Boylan right now? I mean, it seems like we know kind of who a top five wants to be, but you know, we've seen second units kind of matter in terms of grabbing a couple of points and still holding a representative offense out there. How would you shape it? How do you figure Boylan does?
Well, the other great signing they made in the offseason was Thad Young, who's a pro's pro and has been successful everywhere he's been in terms of trying to fit into whatever role he's asked of and contributing at a high level. He's a very good defender. We've seen that in the first couple of games where he can root guys out in the post. He gets his hands in passing lanes and he can create transition opportunities. He's going to be invaluable to that second group. Coby White is going to bring a dimension with his speed. I thought he looked much better in game two as opposed to the preseason opener. His shot, it looks like there's something there. I think that he can be a successful guy from beyond the arc. And he's got that lightning quick dimension that you really like with your second unit to play against reserves, because he can create opportunities in the open court. And then last night they unveiled Luke Kornet, who, you know, you look at him and you think, this guy can't be an NBA player. He looks like a walking skeleton.
You know, I said that about his dad and I was right.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Frank.
Frank?
Milwaukee, when he got a cup of coffee with the Bucks. But Luke, you know, when he first got out there, he looked a little bit stiff, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is he going to be able to do out there? But his understanding of the game is very good. You know, he set screens, he rolled, he knew when to pop, he knew when to go to the basket. I think his basketball IQ is high, and he's another guy who can shoot the three ball. So that kind of qualifies as a guy who I think is going to get a lot of minutes with that second group, because he's much further along in the way where he can contribute, as opposed to Daniel Gafford, who still was more of an effort guy and has to work on his offensive skill set. And then, of course, Felicio, you know, he's got a nice contract. That's all you
need. You know what? He looks like he lost some weight. I'll say that. He definitely looks like he's in a better basketball condition than he was last year. So I'd give him credit for trying to make the most out of it. But, Mark, help me out a little bit with figuring out Jim Boylan, because this is going to be an ongoing process for me. I may be uncertain about his tactical chops and about how big an effort it's going to take to continue to get him seeing the game through a modern lens. But I know this. He believes he's almost like a basketball evangelist, in that he gets up every day really caring a lot. He's unbelievably emotional and sort of basketball spiritual. How long can a team deal with that over 80 some games? And after a while, Tom Thibodeau was one thing, the oppressiveness of Tom Thibodeau. And he's not like that in any way, as far as the personality goes, but there's an intensity there that sometimes might need to be mitigated. Just let it breathe a little bit. Is that a concern?
Well, I think a lot of people last season, when Boylan first took over, you know, they kind of dwell on some of his pet phrases, you know, bulls across the chest, spirit and soul, pure heart and all that stuff. Now, this can't possibly be real, but it is. That's who he is. That's what his coaching philosophy kind of has been. And he went to great lengths this summer. It's not like other coaches don't do it, but, you know, he traveled all around the globe to be with the guys, try to get to know them on a personal level. I don't know if you guys caught the feature that the Bulls TV did, their last episode, where they showed him doing cannonballs with Lauri Markkanen in Finland. I mean, he gets up at the crack of dawn. All he's thinking about is what can I do to make this team better? And as you mentioned, Dan, the care factor is definitely there. And I think what he has to do as a professional coach is he has to kind of ramp that down, because guys will grow tired of that if it's over the top every day. And I think that with his first training camp and feeling more comfortable with the longer-term contract as the head coach, I think he will find that sweet spot where he can have that passion, but yet he can relate to a modern NBA player. Because that's a fine line to walk. You don't want to fall off the tightrope by being too overbearing these guys, you know, are their own corporations, and they're selling their brand. They have very strong feelings about a lot of different areas, and you have to give them their space too. So I think that he's trying to thread that needle. It's going to be tough for him because he is, as you mentioned, a basketball evangelist. But, you know, we've seen growth in year two, and really that's all you can ask for at this point.
He's Mark Chinaski. We're talking Bulls and NBA with him. Segment's brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Believing is seeing. Schedule your free consultation today. Mark, I wonder how you expect things to play out as it concerns the NBA and their confrontations and their kind of standoff with the country of China at this point. I know our own Cody Westerlund asked Jim Boylan for his thoughts on the issue. He didn't say much. That makes sense to me. I mean, if Steve Kerr is going to look at his shoes and shuffle his feet, I think everybody's going to do that. Do you expect the NBA to just do the humana, humana, humana thing for an entire season until maybe China gets less ticked off?
That is a very tough issue for the league because that country is so important to the teams for the league's financial status. I mean, the people in China love basketball, love the NBA, and that is an area that's created a tremendous amount of revenue streams for the league. So they're going to try to do everything they can to try to maintain that business relationship. But, you know, when you talk about human rights and oppressive policies by governments, that's something that as Americans can't be ignored. So, you know, Adam Silver is trying to say the right thing while also trying to maintain that business relationship. And that's not an easy thing to do, and it's a storyline that we're going to be following in the coming weeks.
The Top of the Hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan 4-packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, 1 large popcorn, 1 low price. To get yours, visit chicagowolves.com. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Mark Strotman, your colleague, did some really good work after the first exhibition game looking at shot selection, shot distribution, where they were coming from. The numbers look great. They look great. They're taking a high percentage of threes, a very low percentage of two-point shots outside the restricted area. Everything you draw up metrically, they were actually executing in this small sample size early on. The one thing that needs to improve, and this might be a factor, Mark, what we were talking about before about the quality of their wings, are threes from the corner. That they're not getting enough of what's considered the most efficient, valuable shot in NBA basketball. Does that have to do with who their wings are, or is that something that they just have to look for more?
Well, I think we saw in the Pelicans game where the ball was moving a lot quicker than it was the first game against Milwaukee. I think that's really about rotating the ball to the weak side, getting guys in proper positions, and making sure that the shot comes from the location that you desire it to come from. And I don't think it's really a question of personnel. I think you can rotate people to where anybody can end up with that corner three. It's just a question of executing your offense a little bit better. I think when they move the ball side to side, you're going to get that open shot on the weak side, and preferably that's going to come from the corner. You know, Thad Young is not an outstanding three-point shooter, but he can hit that corner three, and I think we're going to see him as the season goes on being played in groups with Lauri Markkanen at center, with Young at the power forward, and I think you're going to see more opportunities for guys like Thad Young and Satoransky to get those corner threes rather than a pure small forward. And, you know, we rarely talk about Otto Porter, it seems, but he had a really good stint yesterday. He had 16 points, 8 rebounds, or 8 assists and 7 rebounds in a short span of time. And I just think he's going to be a big asset for this team because he's really comfortable in the Boylan system. You know, he's gotten away from Wall and Beal, where he was third wheel there. And I think he feels like this is an offense he can flourish in. He's a very efficient player. And then, you know, even though everyone talks about growth from LaVine and Markkanen, Porter's going to be a guy who's really solid, and he's another one of these guys who's really a high buy-in with the Boylan system, and that is going to make him invaluable to the team this year.
What do you know about the influence of Roy Rogers early on? He came in with some bona fides as a real solid defensive mind. Is he concentrating with the big guys of the defensive forwards?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they haven't had a big man coach for quite a while. That is normally a staple on any NBA staff, is you get the one former NBA center or power forward who can take the bigs over on one side of the court and work on post moves and defensive strategy. And I think that's going to be an invaluable addition to this team. Rogers has had, as you mentioned, he's had a lot of success in Houston, and I think that he's going to work with Wendell Carter Jr., Daniel Gafford, Luke Kornet, Markkanen. You know, they're going to try to get these guys to understand positioning, how they can be more effective in the post, because that's one area that Lowry and Wendell both need to improve in is to be more efficient when they get the ball against a smaller defender in the post. Now, we haven't seen Carter Jr. yet because of injuries, but you know he's put on weight. He's stronger. He wants to be a more efficient player in the post, and I think that having a guy like Roy Rogers and his resume and his pedigree to try to help him out is really going to help the young guy.
Great stuff, Mark. Thanks, Mark. Look forward to talking frequently.
Yeah, should be a fun season, Dan and Connor. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.